Good morning and welcome to Sports Interview with Ann Liguori on this Saturday morning, November 16. How are we doing this morning? So glad you can join me where I am every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 Eastern Standard Time, and you can hear us from anywhere online by going to 883wppb.org. Each show is turned into a podcast, and you can find that on Audio Boom, and you can hear every show archived on my website at annliguori.com. And I am so excited because I'm down in Oxford, Mississippi, and I've never been here before, but what a beautiful little town. And we're here for the big game, big college football game between LSU and Ole Miss. LSU coming into this game 9-0. And just what a great win for LSU last week against Alabama. Now playing Ole Miss, who is 4-6. And boy, to be here in Oxford at the Grove, which is quite the experience all of itself, and you'll hear about that in this hour, is really exciting. I mean, especially for somebody who's not been here before. And I just thought I would share this experience, this Southern experience, with all you New Yorkers. And if you ever have a chance to come down to play in any, or to watch any of these games in the SEC, or just to be a part of you know, some of these college towns, I'm sure many of you maybe even went to a Southern college or university, and Ole Miss is just absolutely gorgeous. So really looking forward to continuing the weekend festivities here, and the game should be a blowout. Let's face it, LSU is just playing such dominant football, just very impressive, particularly that huge win against Alabama last week. Obviously, they don't want to come in overconfident, but actually back in 2013, LSU came to Oxford ranked number 6, facing unranked Ole Miss, and Ole Miss won. So maybe Ole Miss will kind of look back to that game several years ago as maybe a confidence booster here. But either way, it's exciting, 100,000 people plus at the stadium, all the festivities throughout the day, tailgating at the Grove should be exciting. And this morning, I'm gonna talk to two Mississippians who just love their state and represent this state so well. Steve Azar is a good friend of mine through the years, and he's been on this show in the past. You remember Steve Azar, a hit songwriter, recording artist, talk show host, music producer, golfer, speaker, philanthropist. In fact, at the 21st annual Ann Liguori Foundation Charity Golf Classic this past June at the West Hampton Country Club, we honored Steve Azar. He was our musical honoree, so he came to the Hamptons and spent a lot of time with us on the east end of Long Island. So Steve will talk to us about Ole Miss. His son actually is a student here at Ole Miss in Oxford, Mississippi, and Steve comes here a lot. He just produced a wonderful series event last night, the Mockingbird Music Series, which featured Wynn Varble. Wynn Varble has written several top songs for other artists in Nashville, Waiting on a Woman for Brad Paisley, Have You Forgotten for Daryl Worley, a little more country than that, Eaton Corbin. Wynn Varble's other hits include Self-Made Man, Cadillac Tears, She Ain't In It, Things That Never Cross a Man's Mind. There's just so much that Wynn Varble has done. And Steve and Gwen Azar put this series on called the Mockingbird Music Series. And they do it all over the state of Mississippi. And we are fortunate enough to catch it on a Thursday night right here in Oxford, Mississippi. So you'll learn a lot about Oxford and the great state of Mississippi by Steve Azar. And then we have the mayor of Cleveland, Mississippi on, Mayor Billy Nowell, who actually went to Delta State University, which is where Steve Azar went to school. And the mayor has season tickets here at Ole Miss for 40 years and is very good friends with Archie Manning and the Manning brothers and with a lot of notables. So he'll talk about his friendships with people down here in Mississippi. Brett Favre, the great quarterback, Green Bay Packers, played for the Jets for a little bit. So a lot going on this morning on Sports Interview with not only Steve Azar, but also the mayor of Cleveland, Mississippi, Billy Noel, who knows Ole Miss, the Grove, and Oxford pretty intimately. So hope you enjoy the show this morning. Sports Interview with Ann Liguori is brought to you in part by Dune Jewelry and My Hamptons Rope Collection. Savor the memories with sand from your favorite beach or golf course and timeless pieces for men and women. DuneJewelry.com. And by Peak Vision Sunglasses, PEAK Vision Sunglasses, zero distortion, unmatched clarity, change your game, PeakVision.com. That's PEAK Vision.com. First light. Find your way to places that only know lies. Field tracks and bruised skies. With hardly time to hold on or be strong, I'm strong. Cause like the dawn, you're pushing on the way. I tell you, you're my sunshine. Everybody needs a little sunshine. Welcome back to Sports Interview with Ann Liguori, and I am just delighted to have my good buddy Steve Azar on. We are in Oxford, Mississippi. Oxford, Mississippi for the Ole Miss LSU game, and Steve and his lovely wife Gwen have invited Scott and me down here, and we are just so excited to be here for the big game on Saturday night and the whole experience in the Grove. And nobody knows Mississippi better than hit songwriter, recording artist, talk show host, music producer, golfer, speaker, enough, philanthropist. Enough. What did I miss, Steve Azar?
Yeah, well, I'm okay at a lot of things, just not great at one, which sometimes is a setback.
You are so humble, but last night you and Gwen hosted this really lovely evening called the Mockingbird Music Series, and none other than Wynn Harble was there. What a storyteller, what a songwriter. Everything about the evening was just so wonderful, and you know, we just had come down from New York, so to experience it here in Oxford, Mississippi, with all your lovely friends and the bourbon drink and the chili and the whole buffet, and then just a wonderful talent on stage. Talk a little bit first about this series that you and Gwen organized.
Well, the streaming is sort of brought on by the whole streaming deal. Now that there's downloads are really going away for sales, you know. Our songwriter pals, you know, I always wrote and recorded and performed. These guys all wrote for other artists and would stay home because they were making so much money. There was so much revenue coming in from sales. It's all gone now. So now it's easy to get them out because they call it pocket change, pocket money. So they're all very unique. They're personable, very honest, compelling, witty people. And they all have one thing in common. They write a great song and turn a great phrase. And their stories to me are as good as it gets.
I got to tell you, he was funny. He could go on stage and do, you know, stand-up comedy, this mm-hmm. guy. But so you know these mm-hmm. people from your days in Nashville, and how do you kind of pick your talent?
Well, I like to write alone, but I spent about 15 years writing, doing this co-writing thing. It's what Nashville is. So I've gotten to know all these guys. I mean, I gravitated toward the songwriters because that's what I was and still am. But moving back home, obviously, I have nobody to write with but myself. So, but it's been good. But it's been great to reacquaint myself with my old friends. Yeah, I've written with all of them or most of them. And in some cases, some of them coming up, like we got L. Russell Brown coming up. L. Russell wrote Tie Yellow Ribbon Around the Old Oak Tree. He wrote Knock Three Times, Wichita Lineman. He's a legend. And now he just wrote 80 songs with Dan Auerbach of the Black Keys. You're talking two generations. He can be a grandfather. He's 80, and Dan's in the mid-30s probably. So that's the great thing about songwriters, you know. You got mentors. Their age doesn't matter. Young can write with old. You both help each other and drag you up, as we say.
And what a great service you're doing you know, from Mississippi, the state of Mississippi, and you know, promoting these musical icons. And as you say, some of the people that don't necessarily get all the credit, right, they're the songwriters for, you know, for major, yeah, talent. And this gentleman you had on, you know, the series last night, Wynn Varble, he's written for some major singers, yeah, out there.
Well, he wrote Waiting on a Woman, which I wrote Waiting on a Joe. I made the joke, you know, I said, you know, people, a woman would have been smarter. always go after the woman that makes you more money. But he had three, one of Garth Brooks' last records, he had three songs on it. He wrote Have You Forgotten, you know, the great patriotic song. He's an amazing, witty guy. But yeah, man, I'm just telling you, they're so talented and so honest, blatantly honest. Yeah, he's a special cat.
So tell me, Steve, about your role as ambassador, cultural ambassador to the state of Mississippi. Tell me what that encompasses.
Well, Governor Bryant and I got together one day, and he goes, look, you're doing all this stuff. He goes, I think that we need to have a focus on it and give it a real, and you do more. You have time. And I said, I moved home for this. And he named me the Music and Culture Ambassador of Mississippi. And we did it for a year, and now we're in the third year. And we'll see how it goes. I've developed a great relationship with our head of tourism. You know, you got to realize music, first of all, we're the birthplace of American music. When we do the Mockingbird Music Series, it's taking Music City and bringing them to us. Mississippi, we have the Mississippi Grammy Museum. You're going to have Billy Nowell, Mayor Billy Nowell on a little bit. Good pal of mine, great golfer, great athlete, great man. But his wife is on the board of the Grammy Museum, Mississippi, where we used to play golf on hole number 5 and 6. And it sits there now. And the Delta Music Institute is the basketball court that we used to play at Delta State. And now it's an incredible world-class studio, all-in curriculum. So the more that we can celebrate the arts in any way in our state and bring people to where it all began, Elvis, BB, you know, and Conway, it never ends. Charlie Pride, we gave an award to him recently, and so humble and so gracious, and he broke ground. Think about it, an African-American man in country music back in his day, you know? I mean, now you have Darius, and think about it, there's been really nobody. And he did it when we really shouldn't have been able to do it. And it's amazing, he's a Mississippi guy. And I just think that, you know, anytime we can do that, it helps our economy. There is a direct correlation between us celebrating our history and culture and people coming to visit and spend time. And at the same time, it helps us economically, which we need.
I love it. The first thing we saw, you know, when we go into Memphis, obviously, we always think of Elvis. And we always come into Memphis, you know, when we come down to the Delta Soul to plan your golf event. And then driving down here, what is it called? Tupelo, right?
Tupelo.
I heard it pronounced both ways. But yeah. Tupelo, Mississippi, where the great Elvis Presley was born and raised, right?
It's incredible. No matter, so you can take a trip to Tupelo, and obviously he ended up building Graceland in Memphis. But you go to Indianola, and there's the B.B. King Museum. You go to Leland, Mississippi, 20 minutes away, and there's Jim Henson and the Muppets. That's where Jim Henson was from. I mean, that's crazy to me. Our William Alexander, Percy. I mean, it never ends. The Grammy Museum, that we were awarded the second Grammy Museum ever because of our history. The amount of Grammys that have been won in Mississippi is like 8 times. It's like more than the next 8 states combined. So that's who we are. And our governor, Phil Bryant, and even back as far as Haley Barbour, they said, we've got to do something about celebrating who we are as that, because it had gotten lost in translation a little bit. The world was making, you know, the Beatles, not the Beatles as much as the Rolling Stones, Led Zeppelin, Eric Clapton. The world's profited on who we are as Mississippi in our music. And so we wanted to let everybody know, hey, come on, the Rolling Stones named themselves Rolling Stone out of Muddy Water song. And they probably would have never done what they did if it wasn't for us. So we want people to know that. And we boast it, but in a very humble and honorable way, you know.
Steve Azar, you made such a name for yourself in Nashville. Just a couple of your accolades here. As you said, you wrote Waiting on Joe in 2001, which became number one on in the CMT. Morgan Freeman was in that video, and I remember meeting Morgan Freeman at your golf event, the Doubt to Soul. I Don't Have to Be Me Till Monday. Taylor Swift told People magazine that your song Sunshine was her favorite song of the year when that came out. I mean, you have such a resume and just so many great things to talk about here with your career. But I want to know your past. You were born in the Delta area of Mississippi, went to Nashville, and then came back. Talk a little bit about that transition.
Well, first of all, I'm a mutt, which is the truth, but I can be a good mutt at times. The deal is that I went to Delta State University, and my band started to really blossom. And musically, I was writing songs, but I was at the mercy of who played with me, and it wasn't right. But people came to see us. It's how I met my wife, Gwen, at the University of Arkansas. You know, a long story short, it was in the late 80s, and all of a sudden, I'm still doing it. It's crazy. I feel like I've had like 11 lives, but I'm going to tell you something. Coming back home, I've had songs about a lot of cities in the Delta, Indianola, Greenville, all this. I wrote all this stuff years ago, and it was all about me coming home. It's something I never thought I'd be able to do. But I always tell everybody, and I tell him, Billy, I've told him probably 50 times, I never wanted to leave. I needed to get better at the craft of writing songs. And I was influenced by these great blues writers, but I had this sort of country side of me and rock and roll side. And I don't know, I eventually found myself, you know, and got to spend a year touring with Bob Seger. I think I felt like when I found myself as a writer, I became more honest and with myself and in tune. It just started to make a bigger impact. And coming home has been a blessing because our kids got to experience what I did late. They were 15, 13, and 10. But man, Mississippi injects a lot into your soul and your heart, and you have no choice, but you can be born in Nashville all you want, but now they're Mississippi kids because it's a heavy, potent dose of something that we can't explain. As we say, it's something in the water.
So were all the kids born in Nashville,
yeah,
Steve?
Yes, wow. Yeah. 15, 13, and 10 when we moved. Clampett's going backwards.
Wow. So talk a little bit about your background. How did you get into music? How did you start in the music biz? And what was your childhood like?
Oh, my dad had the first legal liquor store in Mississippi. He went to Notre Dame, graduate. He grew up in Greenville, and he got into real estate and all that. But behind my dad's liquor store was this man, Eugene Powell. He was Sonny Boy Nelson. He was making blues records in the 30s. And postmen at the end of the day would show up and just sit there and watch it. And at 10 years old, I went back there the first time. And, you know, I felt like I was walking on glass back there. You know, it was gravel. And like, can I just sit here? And I sat there and I got on whatever he was talking about or saying, and I raced home and started writing, and then I called my parents up, and I remember going like, will y'all get me a guitar? And I was the fourth child of five. They had already tried music with all of them. They'd given up.
Oh, wow.
And so I wanted to learn so I could write songs. And I've been writing songs since I was 11. You know, it's crazy. You know, Marty Stewart, the great Marty Stewart, incredible. He's coming back home as well, and he's building his museum. He's collected 20,000 pieces of country music memorabilia. He's got Johnny Cash's original black suit. He's got Patsy Cline's boots. She passed away. I mean, like, he played with all these guys. And he's a legend. And he's coming back home as well to celebrate his history. And so I just gave him one of my first, I think, the first guitar I ever wrote songs on for the museum as well. So it was a great day for us to do it. Anyway, it's great. And I know we're here to celebrate Ole Miss LSU. We came and got a big game. And I know Billy's going to spend more time talking about that. We could talk sports. You know?
Absolutely. Well, I wanted to just get, you know, a little bit of insight on your background, which is fascinating to me. You started a trend. Now all these Nashville musicians and songwriters are going to come back to the root of music, right here in Mississippi. But yes, we are in Oxford, Mississippi. Beautiful, quaint town. Walked around a little bit last night. Looking forward to getting there today and walking around the campus a little bit. You went to Delta State, but here we are in Ole Miss territory, and your son is a student here. So talk about, you know, Ole Miss and what it's like to be here and to just, you know, walk around on campus, the Grove, the whole atmosphere. It's very exciting.
This place is magic. And there's schools across the state, you know, Starkville and Southern and Jackson State, obviously Delta State. We're we're biased. But going to Delta State allowed us to be sort of like, we had other choices we could love. You know, we were a Division II school and very, very diverse in sports. Our programs at Delta State are pretty amazing. Mississippi's got a lot of great athletes. And Ole Miss is just a place where there's going to be 100,000 people.
Unbelievable.
Only 60-something thousand get to get into the stadium. So you have almost as many people that stay on the road that go into the stadium. And it's crazy. I mean, you know, it's like, you know, Katy Perry comes and hangs out. We've seen pictures of her hanging out on top of, you know, going crazy. You know, there was a time recently when Ole Miss was ranked number 4, and I think Mississippi State was ranked number 1. It never happened in our state. It was crazy. And that was not that long ago. It was probably 5-6 years ago. And so now LSU comes knocking on the door with arguably one of the best quarterbacks that we've seen in 10 years. And a coach that used to coach Ole Miss, and Ed Orgeron, and it's pretty cool. I mean, this LSU team is amazing. So, but you never know how these things pan out, and it's going to be interesting to see. But our son's here. He's a pre-med major. He's graduating early, which I don't understand. Why would anybody graduate at Ole Miss early? Yeah, it's been a great day. He's our middle child, and we've got all you guys coming this weekend to celebrate with us. And I've got West Coast and East Coast. You guys are East Coast, obviously. And then we got our mayor. We ran into our mayor, Billy Mowell. Even though I live in Greenville, he lives in Cleveland, I still call him my mayor. He's the best there ever was. And Becky. And so we had a great time last night. We had a great event that my wife, Gwen, and Becky worked on last week with Charlie Bride that came and gave a great award called the Crossroads of American Music. See, I'm getting the... And Charlie was so gracious and raised a lot of money for the Grand Museum, and they put on an event that was spectacular. And now we're gonna double it here, double down, because we got you guys.
we're gonna have to get on your list to come down to all these musical series and activities that you and Gwen put together all the time. Well, you know, I was doing some research on LSU and Ole Miss, and back in 2013, LSU came to Oxford ranked number 6,
okay,
facing unranked Ole Miss. And who won? Ole Miss. So, you know, and looking at some of the predictions from the experts in college football, you know, some people are saying, hey, maybe Ole Miss can pull out a win. They have a really aggressive running game. And you never know, LSU, after that huge win against Alabama last week, maybe they come in a little overconfident. Now, you know, I know most people are just thinking LSU is going to come in here and just dominate. But, hey, there's always that chance that Ole Miss can pull off a win, right?
I don't know this time. Because here's what I think. I think that this LSU team could be one of those teams of destiny. The offense is it's so easy for them. And I, unless they do come in, you know, what do you call it? The jet lag of last week. What do they call it? Not the letdown.
Just
the
overconfidence.
Whatever. I mean, I feel like Ed Orgeron's got it prepared. But, I mean, I'm excited to have them in town. And look, this is the SEC West. SEC West is potent. You got Alabama, you got LSU, you got Auburn, you got State and Ole Miss, and Arkansas obviously having a downtime. And Ole Miss is coming back from some situations of probation and all that. And so I think we're seeing the result of that now, and they're starting to come along now. And Matt Luke's been, he was a player here, you know, and so he bleeds the colors. And so it's going to be interesting, but LSU, they got to – but, you know, their defense seems that they're on the field a lot because the offense scores so fast. So if they could take advantage of that, then maybe it could be a really good game.
I don't know how confident you are in that statement, but it's going to be exciting either way. But LSU, I mean, it's always wonderful to see a team that's undefeated coming in 9-0. Ole Miss is 4-6, and Ole Miss gave up 340 yards to Bo Nix in their loss to Auburn. They've allowed 300 yards or more in 6 of their last 9 games. So, but
is that passing?
Yeah, that's just crazy. So they're going to have to come up with some kind of strategy to beat LSU. And, you know, looking at this, the coach, Orgeron, he's fascinating to me.
Yeah.
He's had such a run. He had an interesting past. He took some time off, you know, from football to deal with personal issues, came back. He actually coached Ole Miss, as you mentioned, from 2005 to 2007. And then he became a defensive line coach in the NFL for the Saints. So he's coming back to college football with all kinds of experience and You know, very impressive what he's been able to do in his career, don't you think?
So he was probably a side note to hire. That's the truth. And I don't think that they felt like it was going to work out. What he did was he got better in the last 10 years, which you'd like to think you do. And he hired Brady from New Orleans to come in. Burrow was a quarterback that had never been under center. And last year, he came from Ohio State, and they put him under center. So all of a sudden, he's not running a spread. He's not running anything. He's always been in the shotgun. And so now they realize that. And so kudos to him for going out and finding what they need. You know, you're seeing a lot of coaches now in the NFL and all that, and they seem like they were working, but they're not managers of coaches. They're like great quarterback gurus. Well, you need a guy like Orgeron to come along to manage all these parts so he can coach team. And if you coach your coaches, then they're coaching their players, and everybody does their job, as they say. I think that he's really figured that out. And that's why LSU is right number one right now.
I have to say, he's had such an interesting past. He was in that movie Blindside, playing himself, right?
Playing himself.
And then he was a subject in a book called Meat Market, all about the inside college football, you know, game. And so he's had quite an interesting background. And as you say, the way he handles the quarterback, Joe Burrow, who's a favorite to win the Heisman Trophy. Heisman quarterbacks are always favored to win the Heisman Trophy if you're good enough. But here's some stats on Joe Burrow. All right, you ready for this?
Yeah.
He's thrown for 275 yards or more in every game, 320 yards or more in 7 games. Now listen to this. He's connected on 79% of his passes.
80%.
That's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. He gets rid of the ball quick. He sees it all. He's got great athletes, you know, out there. But, I mean, the bottom line is, come on, 80% of your passes in the SEC West. It's impossible. And then right behind him is Tua, you know, at Alabama. Right. So these guys, this is what you have to become. It's interesting how the SEC West and, you know, these leaders – they were all about defense. You know, it was usually 9-6 is what your games were at Alabama and LSU. And they won with defense. And now they've made this transition to scoring. But if they both get defense and offense like this right, then nobody's ever going to be able to. It's going to have the Chicago Bears all over again at 5.
What are your thoughts? What were your thoughts about the game last week, LSU against Alabama? Tua kind of stumbled early in that game. He was coming back from, a sprained ankle, I think it was. And game time decision, the statement said whether or not, you know, they were going to put him in. But that was some game. And for LSU to, you know, prevail at the end was pretty impressive.
It was so unusual to watch him with offense, you know, because you felt like it was going to happen. The stats said it was going to happen, but you didn't necessarily believe it, you know. But, yeah, I mean, true to form, this year goes, the scenario is it's playing out like a linear, like a movie that you know where the end's going. Now that game was exciting to watch. So it's equally has been exciting watching nobody score. So it's interesting to see it on the other side. It felt like you were watching a West Coast game, you know, and in the SEC, which is odd. But these teams can play defense. Like I said, what's happening is LSU's defense is, you got to realize last year, I mean, they're scoring like in a minute and a half now. The defense has got to be dead tired. And I think that that's why they've allowed so many points. Obviously, Alabama's scoring a lot of points too. So that was a different scenario. But LSU has given a lot of points away this year. But if they can score 50 a game, then, you know, good luck to the rest of the country. You know?
So what's the atmosphere going to be like this weekend, Steve? I know you guys have a tent all ready for the Grove. You know, it's going to be a night game, which will be fun. What do you anticipate going on Saturday game day?
The reason we are in a suite is because it will be cold. there was a time when I used to ask, I used to do the anthem in Lambeau Field, and I used to ask, I did it 8 times. I used to say, I want it colder.
Wow.
And Favre, back in the day, we were pals, and still pals, but I'd go see him play, and he goes, what is wrong with you? Why do you keep asking for like a colder? And then I decided to do Monday Night Football. It was a -4, and I couldn't feel myself. And so that's when
at Lambeau Field?
Ever since then, it was Monday Night Football at Lambeau. And ever since then, I've decided I know what it feels like to be that cold. If you imagine playing, I used to go, who's catching the ball? It feels like an icicle. So it's going to be cold here. But it's going to be cool. You know, a few years ago, Ole Miss was playing Alabama, and the first play we scored up, and the place went nuts. And then they took over. But then we kind of made a little comeback. I mean, we were a game, Billy. Yeah. Right. And so it was a great game, but it's going to be exciting, you know. I mean, look, listen, Ole Miss people, they bleed our colors, especially that cool, dusty-looking blue color that I love. That I think was an accident, but it's the best-looking color on the planet. But the people are this is a hospitable place. And so you're going to see that. They're going to be a lot of purple and yellow for they travel, you know. You know, LSU travels. But they're going to be welcome, and it's going to be a great experience. You're just going to love this. It's going to be what should be enemies coming together to celebrate together. And that's the feel. That's what you get when you come to Mississippi.
Well, from what I read, I should have brought my candelabras and some champagne glasses.
I forgot about that part. Yeah, it gets pretty elaborate. Yeah.
And, you know, I hear what the, you know, how they dress up, you know, in warmer temperatures. I guess people are going to have to be a little warm, you know, dress for the cold temps on Saturday. But this is going to be great, Steve Azar. I can't wait. And I can't believe you would be out there at Lambeau Field singing the national anthem. That is cold tundra personified, right? So if you can handle that, you can handle anything, right?
It's going to be in the 20s tomorrow night, the kickoff, right? In the 20s, right? Is that right? So that's going to be awesome. But, like I said, we'll have things to keep us warm.
Thought we were going to be an indoor suite, no?
Yeah, but you can go out from the suite. But the point is, there'll be plenty of – we'll have food and cocktails to keep us warm.
I'm just teasing. I just can't wait. So, listen, Steve Azar, thanks so much for this wonderful invitation. We're so – and this town has soul. And I'm going to talk to the mayor of Cleveland about just the soul of Mississippi and all these beautiful towns in the state of Mississippi. But just walking around as we did, and I can't wait to spend more time this weekend, you know, walking around Oxford, there's a lot of soul here. And as you say, the hospitality is second to none.
It's a Mississippi thing. Well, yeah, you know, it's awesome. Yeah. No, it will be. I think that you're really good. I hope you leave an incredible impression of who we are. And you're at Ole Miss. It's a hotty totty thing.
Hotty totty. Do you remember? Do you know the song? Hotty totty. I wrote it down somewhere. You're right. It's hotty totty. Gosh almighty.
Oh,
who the hell are we? Hey, flim flam, bim bam, Ole Miss by dark. Damn.
Yeah. Hotty totty.
Gosh almighty.
I thought you were talking about a song. I said, the theme song. I know the chant.
That's the chant, man. Oh my God. I love it. When are we gonna hear that tomorrow?
Yeah, it was better than my wife where she went to Arkansas with our daughter. That's because, you know, we picked Sue. So she's over there right now. They like to call the Hawks. Yeah, I like the hotty totty a little bit.
You've been saying hotty totty. I'm ready for some of that hotty totty.
You're going to hear it a lot. Well, hopefully you hear it a whole lot. We'll see.
Thanks so much for hosting us, Steve. Looking forward to it.
You're my sister.
Go Ole Miss.
You're my sister. Thanks.
You're my bro. Yeah. Steve Azar, thank you so much. Sports Interview with Anne Liguori is brought to you in part by Dune Jewelry and My Hamptons Rope Collection. Savor the memories with sand from your favorite beach or golf course in timeless pieces for men and women. DuneJewelry.com. And by Peak Vision Sunglasses, PEAK Vision Sunglasses, zero distortion, unmatched clarity, change your game, PeakVision.com. That's PEAK Vision.com. Mississippi to this land called home. I'll breathe Mississippi till I'm dead and gone. Just carry on. Okay. We survived hurricanes, know them by name, rose above the flood, built a wall of his own mud, and come Sunday morning, we profess our faith with near the cross in his amazing grace. Oh yeah. That's Mississippi. I say one Mississippi, there's a magnolia tree. Two Mississippi, where a mockingbird sings out on his hymn, whistling that sweet soulful hymn. I say three Mississippi to this land called home. Welcome back to Sports Interview with Ann Liguori. So glad you can join me where I am every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 Eastern Standard Time. And you can hear us from anywhere on the planet at 883-WPPB.org. Each show is distributed on podcasts and archived at AnnLiguori.com. And joining me this morning, we are in Oxford, Mississippi. Gorgeous day, a little brisk, but getting ready for the big LSU Ole Miss game. And joining me now is the mayor of Cleveland, Mississippi, Mayor Billy Nell. So nice to meet you. Well, we've seen you. We've golfed together at Steve Azar's Delta Soul Golf Tournament in Greenville, Mississippi. And it's so great to meet you here for the show. Thanks so much for coming on Sports Interview.
Thank you, Ann. This is really my pleasure. And I love Ole Miss with a passion, so I'm looking forward to this interview today.
So tell me, you're a season ticket holder here for 40 years. Oh my goodness, talk about the interest in Ole Miss.
Okay, yeah, so I have been a season ticket holder for 40 years, and I guess I'm giving my age away by saying that because it took me a few years of working to be able to buy season tickets, but I have been a season ticket holder for 40 years. I came along at the time that Archie Manning came along. He and I are the same age. And great friends, and so he had a following. It was kind of like a cult, I guess. That may not be the right word, but we followed Archie, and we started way before that, the Jack Gibbs and all the big names. But Ole Miss has been a passion, and not just football, basketball, baseball, everything. Oxford and Mississippi, we're just one big family. I think by talking to Steve Azar, you can tell that, and I want to go back to what he was saying. He is the greatest ambassador Mississippi could ever have. And we're proud. I'm proud to call him such a good friend. But Mississippi loves our football. Now, the SEC football and SEC West, if you make a living, if you win your 4-9 conference games, and if you split even, you got 8 conference games. If you go 4-4, to us in our present position, that is a real good year for the team. And I think we have been through a little bumps in the road, that kind of thing, but I do see us coming back. There's a mystique about Mississippi, and there's a mystique about Oxford and Ole Miss, and we just love it, and it's just a big part of our life. Weekends in the fall are for Ole Miss football.
I love it. I mean, I can't imagine. I mean, you probably haven't missed a game, right? I mean, season ticket holder for 40 years, to go to every home game almost?
Yes, we do. About the only thing that would keep us from missing would have to be some of our grandchildren or something we had to do with them. Yeah, we have a place here in Oxford, so we make this our second home. We love it.
Talk about that mystique. Describe it. What is it all about here at Ole Miss?
Well, I think for one thing, Ole Miss is a small school in comparison to most, and everybody kind of knows everybody. And it just becomes a family atmosphere. You see the same people you have tickets with, and, you know, some of the tickets we've had, we've been in the East Rebel Club, we know these people about their children, grandchildren, and everything else, because before the game, we're just actually talking family talk. We're either going hunting, playing golf, or talking grandchildren.
I love it. So talk about yourself. You're a businessman, and you become mayor of Cleveland, Mississippi. I'm from Cleveland, Ohio, so it rings strong to me, Cleveland. How did you go from businessman to mayor of Cleveland, Mississippi?
Well, that's a good question. And I was on up in my business career before the mayor that we had there, a gentleman named Mark King, and he was mayor for 36 years. Wow, what a career he had. But he called me and asked me, would I consider running for alderman? And I said, well, I probably need to go talk to Becky about that first. So I did, and I came back the next day. She said, fine. And I came back the next day, and I told him I'd be happy to. And I was an alderman for 8 years, and then I ran for mayor and was able to win. And I'm in my third term as mayor, and I'm enjoying every minute of it. Cleveland is a really dynamic town. I think Steve mentioned the Grammy Museum. We have Delta State University there. So we have a lot of things going on that mean a lot to us. And but our weekend getaway is the Ole Miss Rebels.
So what should we expect at the Grove on Saturday?
Well, I'm not sure. You may see a tux or two out there by the guys. You'll see the chandelier, the silver. You won't be able to walk out there. You need to kind of just make your own little path because it's going to be a sea of humanity. and like Steve said, there will be as many out stay in the Grove. They have their TVs hooked up to generators and all, and they will watch the game out there.
Yeah.
A lot of the ladies particularly just choose to do that. We go in there and kind of get rowdy and that kind of thing. But anyway, it will be a full house. I think it's 63,000. And LSU does travel well. I did not travel. You got the number one team in the country. And I know y'all mentioned, and I hope it is, maybe a little bit of a letdown because the Alabama game, they had it a game of the decade. And it turned out to be a really big game. And I don't know how you beat somebody that good and not have a letdown next week. So that's kind of what we're hoping for. But I can say that Ole Miss has been in every game this year. They had quit. They're a young team, and they've got a lot of spirit and a lot of fire, and I expect them to really play good this week.
You'd mention a letdown. Well, also, LSU suffered some injuries after their win over Alabama last week. The left tackle, Shadeeg Charles, will not play. The right tackle, Austin DeCoulis, he is a game-time decision at this point. So you never know. I mean, you know, also mentally it might be a little too, you know, they don't want to come in here too cocky, right?
Right. Well, that's why you play the game. And I think that we will be ready. Our pass defense, we really need to shore that up some kind of way because they may be the greatest passer that I've ever seen. It's outstanding. And we just need a few breaks to go our way. And I think if we can get some confidence early on, it may feed over. And we need them to give us a few fumbles and a few things along the way. We'll take any help we can get from them. But I'm looking for us to play a really good game.
So 40 years as a season ticket holder, how has the Grove kind of changed during those years and the tradition of dressing up? And, you know, it just seems like the most, you know, upscale tailgating party in all of college football. How was that tradition established, you know?
Well, yeah, I do. it was, I think it really took off in the late 70s and early 80s when we were coming to games even before that. It was such a small stadium. Just kind of team in for the game and you're left right at the end, that kind of thing. Now it's considered not just the Grove, but the all of Oxford. It's just a weekend event. We decided to come on Thursday night of this week and just make a real big weekend out of it because it's going to be so much traffic and all around here. But the Grove itself, I think, really took wings in the late 70s and early 80s, and it's just grown. I think once somebody sees something, they have kind of out doing the Joneses type thing. There must be a lot of that going on, but it's a great time for all.
I wonder who actually started it with, you know, let's get dressed up and wear tuxedos and women wearing pearls and high heels. And I just think that's so cool.
I actually think a lot of that started with the fraternities and sororities. They were real big back at that time, still are here. And I think part of being a pledge or whatever, in our sorority girl, you had to wear a coat and tie and you had to dress up. Whoever sold blue blazers back in the 70s and 80s made a lot of money. There wasn't a kid here that didn't have a blue blazer and they wore it every weekend for the ball game.
Well, I know that Oxford is the birthplace of William Faulkner, the famous writer. Talk a little bit about the history of this town and who's from here and what you know about it.
Well, Oxford is a great, great town, and it is William Faulkner's town. He would have to be the godfather of this town. But there have been a lot of great people come through here. They've had a lot of great mayors that got to live right now that have done a lot of great work. Oxford, I'm good friends with the mayor here. They have a park area that has baseball courts and that type thing.
Right.
They have an indoor training facility for the little people here.
Wow.
Now, I'm not sure too many places in America that have that type thing, but out of 52 weeks of the year, 35 weekends of that, they have people here for ball games, whether it be Little League, college play, or whatever. It's a great town. It's got a great history. One of the older towns in Mississippi. people are just proud to come and be part of it.
And I was so thrilled upon arriving here on Thursday night, the Christmas lights were turned on that evening. So we got to see the town of Oxford, Mississippi in all its holiday grandeur. It's just beautiful.
It is. It truly is. And I'm going to take a little sidebar from that, if I might. Being from Cleveland, we had a tree lighting last weekend, and it's called 50 Nights of Lights. We go through first of the year, and it's kind of like a square that we have there, but it's a triangle, rectangle. But we have a really nice downtown. We had, the town itself is about 14,000. We had 5,000 to 6,000 people out that night for the lighting of the lights at dark, 6:30 last Saturday night. So anyway, great hotels there, just like here. It's a good place to come. I hope to get you there, because when you play golf in Greenwood, you went about 30 miles.
Oh.
And I'm going to get you planned to come to Cleveland, and the three of us are going to play golf.
That would be fun. We'd love that. I'd love it. I'd love to explore different towns and beautiful cities here in Mississippi, the state of Mississippi. It's not that far. It's just a plane ride from LaGuardia or JFK and New Yorkers. I just really believe in supporting our towns in our country. So many of us travel to Europe and all over the world, but there's so much to see, right, in the United States of America. So many great places to experience. It's such an adventure. All right, let's get back to football, because you sound like Archie Manning. And what a dynasty, the Manning family. I was, Eli Manning with the Giants and Peyton Manning. I just, what a football family. And you're friendly with Archie?
Well, Drew was such a small town. If Archie had any social life at all, he had to come to Cleveland to see us. And we didn't have that much back in the 60s when we was in high school together. But yes, Archie Manning, his career was not just football. He was an All-American baseball player in Ole Miss as well. And when he was actually signed to come to Ole Miss, I think he weighed 160 pounds. You know, kind of unheard of thing. But Johnny Ball saw something in him that he has the heart of a giant. And for his family, the Mannings are football in America as far as I'm concerned. Both sons winning Super Bowls. And he will talk a little bit about it. He's such a humble guy himself. But the one subject he will talk about, he's got a grandson named Arch. And he's in the ninth grade in starting quarterback in New Orleans. And he's, I think, last week he threw 6 touchdown passes.
Wow.
So we've got another man, 7, excuse me. We've got another man coming along that's really going to be something. And also, this little man is not 9 months old, but Eli, they have a little 9-month-old boy. And they named him Charlie. Now, a lot of people won't realize that, but like his wife said, they said last night, we named him Charlie because of Charlie Conley. Charlie Conley was a quarterback here many, many years ago. He played for the Giants for many years. So, not just Ole Miss, but Mississippi has a history. Steve was talking about the music, but the athletes that have come from Mississippi. We're talking about Archie Manning, Brett Favre, and the list just goes on and on with football players. Sweetness, Jerry Rice,
Barb,
Brett. So it's unbelievable all the athletes that have come. We wish we'd got a lot more of them at Ole Miss, but we got the kingpins of them all out of the
names. Yeah, I love that. I love the history of sport here, all the athletes, as you mentioned, Brett Favre. I had the opportunity to interview Brett for my show on the Golf Channel years ago in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. And we golfed with him. And we went back to the high school where his father coached him when Brett was in high school. And you're right. When you think about it, a lot of great athletes coming out from this state. And will Archie Manning go to Ole Miss? Does he come to these games to watch? Will he be there, do you think, for the big game against LSU?
Well, for sure he will. We were actually with him last night.
Where was I?
Were
you?
No.
All of it is boys but Peyton here.
Oh.
So, the Mannings will be in full force. They make most of the games. They do have a condo here, and they get here. But as you can imagine, they had to travel so much. When Peyton and Eli were both superstars, they were on the road all the time. So they're here as much as possible. It's not just football to come back. They'll come back in spring for a baseball game or something. They're really true Ole Miss people.
I have to say, you know, they are some of the most, the nicest guys in sports, right? I mean, Eli Manning, the way he's been able to handle, you know, a lot of the ups and downs of being in the New York market from a media standpoint and you know, the Giants, and he's completely behind, you know, the new quarterback there, Daniel Jones, and just really a great sport. What a career he's had, and what a great role model he's been.
Well, you know, if anybody wants to emulate somebody, the Mannings would be the ones to do it. The most humble and great folks that you could ever meet. And I'm not a bit surprised that the guys handled it so well. They all would be in the same boat.
Well, I can't wait to run into them at the big game. And it's so great you're friends with them, because Archie was nearby Cleveland. He would come to Cleveland just to hang out?
Yeah. Well, yep. Cleveland at the time was probably about 8,000. Drew might have been about 1,500. So, yeah, he would come to Cleveland every weekend. But he would be working out in the mornings, and he would come late afternoon. We would go out at night and that kind of thing. He's always been just a prince over there.
Let's talk a little bit more Ole Miss before I let you go. Talk a little bit about their quarterback. Now, they have a freshman quarterback, right? The guy's name is John Plumlee, Rhys Plumlee. How do you think he's going to handle the pressure of playing the undefeated LSU?
I think Plumlee is not going to be intimidated at all. I think he's going to play. Also, Matt Brown's probably going to play. I see him as probably first quarter or so. It's going to be pretty tough on him. I think he's a game of his own. He will make some truly big plays. That's what's so good about him is right now. We've got a lot of young people that really come really good for us right now. So we keep recruiting. And we talk about Overall. I think his biggest strength is his recruiting ability. He's got some great, great athletes. He can do that. And he also has put – sometimes if you're the head man, you're only as good as the people you have around you. I think he's surrounded himself with great coordinators. So that they have a formula that's really looking good for them right now.
The LSU coach, very interesting personality. What happened to his voice? Is that just from, you know, yelling and screaming for a whole career of football, or what's going on with that?
Well, Cajun a little bit, I suppose, is a lot of it. It's that gravelly type of voice. I know the first time I met him, and he was the Ole Miss coach at the time, and being such a golfer, I guess this is one of the first questions I always ask anybody. I said, "Now, coach, you play golf?" And he said, "No." And I said, "Well, what are your hobbies?" He said, "Coaching football and family." So, you know, he is all about coaching football. And his recruiting ability is better than anybody's, in my opinion.
And you're a golfer. So talk a little bit about your golf game, playing in the Delta Soul. And you get to play regularly, I guess, for being – I hear you're quite the player.
Well, I do love golf, and thank you for asking me about that. That's one thing that I've loved my whole life. I actually played golf at Delta State years ago, and have traveled abroad a lot, playing in Scotland. The history of golf and just playing golf, it means a lot to me. I kind of have given away saying I had tickets for 4 years, but I've moved up to the senior tees, and that's really been a big help to me. So. Anyway, I'm playing to about 4 handicap right now, and getting to play once or twice a week.
Wow.
So I do love golf. It's a big part of my life.
A 4 handicap? How come I haven't been paired with you at the Delta Soul?
You know, we tell Steve who we want to play with and things like that. I don't think he listens. Anyway, I think that next time that's what we'll have. You and I'll be on the same team.
Last question, Mayor, talk about your favorite memory from playing in Steve Azar's Delta Soul every year.
I have to be honest about this. Golf is great. I love to bring the golf course. But when he gets on that stage and starts his singing, he doesn't sing but 4 or 5 songs, but he's magic. And I want to go back to what I said about him being ambassador for the state of Mississippi. We're lucky to have he and Gwen in our family.
Mayor, you know everybody, and apparently even John Lennon's stepsister. Tell me that story.
Well, we met Julia Baird, John Lennon's stepsister, and her friend Roger a few years ago in Memphis. They were coming down to the Grammy Museum because we had the big exhibit there. And so they couldn't find a hotel, so we said, well, please stay with Becky and I. Stay at our place. And we bonded, and really, they said they had a bucket list while they were here. They wanted to go to Gracie, and they wanted to go to the Grove at Ole Miss. And I said, how do you know about the Grove at Ole Miss, and you're from Liverpool? And she said, everybody knows about the Grove at Ole Miss.
I love that story.
So anyway, we brought her over. She and Roger did the game. And Ross Bjork was here at the time. And he got us tickets to go down and walk around the field while they were warming up and all. And they really thought, seeing that many people, they thought they were in heaven. And they thought the Grove was the greatest thing they'd ever seen. And we kept our friendship going. We were over in Liverpool with the Azars last month. And they entertained us for the week. So,
yeah.
But anyway, to say the Grove's on people's mind, Liverpool, England, John Lennon's stepsister.
See, even they know about the Grove in Liverpool. I love it. So now, the Grammy Museum, you got to talk a little bit about that. When was it established in Cleveland, Mississippi? And how come that's not a field trip every year during Delta Soul Week?
Well, we worked hard on that, and we got that. We're in our fourth year opening, and it's really done well. It's more of an educational type program. We've had kids from all over, thousands and thousands. And, the first year we were open, we actually had more paid attendance than they did in Los Angeles. It may be a little bit more to do in Los Angeles and Cleveland, Mississippi is why, but anyway, we're so proud of having the Grammy Museum there. And we've had a lot of great events, and Steve and Gwen have been a big part of that.
So the Mannings, John Lennon's sister, tell me that story.
Well, we met Julia Baird, John Lennon's stepsister, and her friend Roger a few years ago in Memphis. They were coming down to the Grammy Museum because we had the big exhibit there. And so they couldn't find a hotel, so we said, well, please stay with Becky and I. Stay at our place. And we bonded, and really, they said they had a bucket list while they were here. They wanted to go to Gracie, and they wanted to go to the Grove at Ole Miss. And I said, how do you know about the Grove at Ole Miss, and you're from Liverpool? And she said, everybody knows about the Grove at Ole Miss.
I love that story.
So anyway, we brought her over. She and Roger did the game. And Ross Bjork was here at the time. And he got us tickets to go down and walk around the field while they were warming up and all. And they really thought, seeing that many people, they thought they were in heaven. And they thought the Grove was the greatest thing they'd ever seen.
Who else?
Steve Azar.
That's another level.
A month and a half ago, we had Garth Brooks at the Grammy Museum. And Steve mentioned we had Charlie Pride and the great event that his wife, Gwen, put on there about a week ago, 2 weeks mm-hmm. ago. So, you know, we may be the best kept secret in the world. We've got to get our marketing effort way up, because while you're from Cleveland, we're from the real Cleveland.
Well, you're a pleasure to talk to. Thanks so much for giving us a little insight on this beautiful community here in Oxford, Mississippi, and your town of Cleveland, Mississippi. I can't wait to see the big game tonight, LSU, Ole Miss, and come on again. Thanks so much for joining me on Sports Interview.
Hotty toddy.
Now I know what that means. My thanks to Steve Azar, to Mayor Billy Noel of Cleveland, Mississippi, and my thanks to studio engineer Kyle Lynch. Have a great weekend, everybody. Talk to you next Saturday morning from 9 to 10 right here on Sports Interview with Ann LaGorrie.